Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, good evening, everybody. It's Soccer in the City Live. I'm Glenn Crooks. Roberto Abramowitz and John Rojas will be by in just a moment. And Anton Tinnerholm, what a cool thing for me. My broadcast partner, Maddie Lawrence, on another assignment, carrying Copa Lib games, and he was unable to be at this one. So Tinnerholm still nursing the injury, filled in. So we're going to hear some of his commentary, which was really sharp, and also little question and answer as he, the obvious questions are, how's your health? But maybe the less obvious question is, what about your contract? You coming back or what's going on? So he'll address both of those things. John Rojas, who you'll meet in a moment if you haven't already met him, posted a little earlier today about MLS referees who are going to Qatar for the World Cup. So we'll take a look at that, because I think that's always significant to see who's earned the rights that are currently working in MLS and with pro referees. And then we also have MLS player salaries, which it's always mind-boggling to me that they dropped this in the middle of the season, but it's something to talk about, and I think always there's some intrigue, and this year did not disappoint, because there certainly is. And then it was two former New York cities. Well, let's see, the coach, Patrick Vieira, and he played for Vieira here in New York City, Frank Lampard. They went head to head today in what was a nutty game, which for Everton, Lampard's side against Crystal Palace, Patrick's side, Everton, what a massive game for them to avoid relegation. So we'll talk a little bit about that one as well. So yep, you've got the whole thing covered here, and there they are. It's John and Roberto, and Roberto Abramowitz, John Rojas. And I need to be forgiven ahead of time. You have to understand, John, and you probably do, I don't know if you took these charters when you were here on a regular basis, but the charter, after any game, we're generally charter back, which is great. Except we land in White Plains anywhere between 1 and 3 a.m., and then I've got a 90-minute ride home. So I'm pretty exhausted. And I had to wake up at 7:30 because somebody was doing something on my roof. And, you know, so no excuse. I'm feeling good. But, again, if I misrepresent anything or can't complete a simple sentence, I just want to be forgiven ahead of time.
Oh, you're blaming it on that now.
All right, I am. Fine. Well, but I do want to thank SiriusXM FC, where I work. Hey, Roberto, I don't know if you popped in the soccer channel when you hopped in your car last night, but guess what was on? The Coaching Academy.
Every time I turn on Sirius, the Coaching Academy is on. And I want to know how much you're bribing Joe Tolleson to have that. It is amazing. After every game, there you are. I cannot get you out of my life.
Well, I don't know how many coaches are going to listen to that at 1 in the morning.
Well, I don't know either, unless you're on the West Coast and getting home. But no, it's interesting. It's interesting how many how many times it's repeated, like in the overnight hours. So I don't know. I guess the insomniacs will hear it. But the guy I was interviewing, I thought it was pretty cool, was Thomas Dooley. So it was good just kind of listening back to that, the former U.S. Men's National Team captain, et cetera, et cetera. Then I did a little E Street Radio. And then the guy who really got me home, though, is Howard Stern. I mean, his interviews are fantastic. And, you know, every now and then I can't handle them. But for the most part, and almost every time I've had to take this trip home, Howard's got me there with entertaining interviews. So that happened again. All right. Anyway, let's get to the soccer. It was a big match last night. It's a road win for New York City against DC United 2-0. It's first road victory of the year. And just briefly, it's New York City is now tied with Montreal, Orlando, and FC Cincinnati for most wins in the East with 6. And 4 straight clean sheets, 395 minutes without conceding a goal. So that's the way we'll kick off. Roberto, what do you say first?
Not that much, please.
It was a good start. I mean, the game started out really well. I mean, the one thing that was pretty obvious is that every time that New York had a set piece, corner kick, and they sent the ball into the penalty area, they won it every single time. I mean, it was very, very dominant, New York in the air and set pieces, and the work that Rob Vertonghen is doing with the squad. Santi, you know, is doing a great job getting those crosses in past the first defender where they're doing a lot of damage. And on the one that turned out to be a goal was a short corner because they played it back to Gloucester, and then he got a really good service in. And, you know, Collins got his head on it. Romo sort of got his hands on it while falling backwards, and ball went in the net.
Well, let's, John, before you comment, here's how it sounded on the New York City FC Network and Anton Tinnerholm getting his chance to comment on it. It's certainly great to hear somebody on the inside who rehearses these plays.
Headed it out for the first corner of the game taken by Santi Rodriguez. He'll play it back to Gloucester, spins it into the front post. Here's a shot and a goal! And it's Alexander Collins! Collins loves to get forward, is always there off the set pieces. So a rehearsed play from New York City FC. Rodriguez playing short to Gloucester. He spun in a beautiful cross and flashing to the front post. Collins at New York City takes the early lead just 6 minutes in at Audi Field.
Yeah, it was a good goal. We're taking advantage of them standing with one guy high, and we can be smart in that situation and play Chris and hit a cross from a better position than a corner. And then, if you leave Kajens free in the 5 meters, then it's definitely a goal. So, a good one.
Collins' second goal of the year. And so, John, significant off that short corner. That's what Tinnerholm was talking about. They played it short. They read it. It was not defended well by DC United.
It's one of the big elements on those set pieces. Is really, in today's game, where spaces are so, you know, compact and teams work so hard on defending from, you know, the forward until the defensive line, those set pieces are really important. And that short corner is very interesting because teams manage it in different ways. That's the best way to move the defensive line of the opposition, to create those spaces and make people like Alexander Collins attack spaces, not waiting for a ball. So that service has to come to a space that someone is going to attack. That's right. And that's what Collins knows really good.
It was really a fantastic goal. And Collins gets better and better. And what we learned from Tinnerholm, and we see it, but it's Collins and Tati Castellanos who are always the targets on these things, with the exception of Morales on the near-to-post flicks, which he predicted twice. What was great about having Tinnerholm is he could see the setup, and then he would tell us what's coming. So it was pretty cool. He wouldn't tell us how it would happen. He said, I'm not going to tell you how we do it. You got to just figure that out by watching, which I'm sure we sort of already have, you know, where the blocks
are. How quickly you've forgotten about Maxime Chanot.
What do you mean?
Well, you're talking about who the targets are. No, he wasn't in the game.
Tinnerholm.
Chanot's in the game. He's normally the primary target.
Tinnerholm said this through the execution and delivery of the rehearsed plays in training. I don't know what to tell you. I didn't say it. Tinnerholm said it. Who's there? So anyway, and as far as the as far as Tinnerholm being on the air, well, thank you. The NYCFC, the City Boys Show, another podcast we should be watching and listening to, we do know that Tinnerholm said he'd be hopefully be back in a month and a half. He's going to have his second child on June 29th. That's the due date. And he hopes to back that up with his first appearance coming off surgery. How cool would that be?
That'd be great.
And then the Chanel and Collins barely speaking on the pitch. I'm going to play a clip from that, too, because we played a little Chanel last week. But it was really a remarkable statement by Chanel about his relationship with Collins. But let's stick with this game. And that's how it started. Fifth minute, it turned out, was the time of the goal. And before that, Brad Smith had just hit the post. So New York City didn't start out particularly well. And Tinnerholm pointed that out, too.
But it's important, Glenn, to notice that this is a team with confidence right now, New York City FC, right? It's in a strike in which they understand that they back to their basics, that they know they can play the way they usually play, that they can rely to suffer some moments. And then they have, for example, Maxi Morales, who in the past game against Columbus played the double pivot, and he did it really well. So they understanding that more and more they're finding again the tools to keep up this streak, and that they have a total different streak that the one that, for example, Philadelphia, who is the leader of that of the conference or the Easter Conference, is having. I mean, NYCFC has six games without losing, right? Five of those six wins, while Philadelphia, on the other hand, they have four games straight tied and not a single win in five games. So this is a team that came to this game against DC United with a lot of confidence. They had Castellanos. Castellanos is scoring again. I know he's not going to be for the next game, but just talking about this with DC United, there's something interesting, too, that Alex Collins mentioned on the press conference, because the way that Ronnie Dyla decided to match up the substitutions and the adjustments that DC United had during the game was what we always want from the team and that we see Ronnie can do, which is not coming with a plan and stick with that plan, but coming with a plan, reading the game, and adjusting if necessary. So New York City FC went with a defensive line of five guys to avoid the wider spaces for DC United. And since DC United understood that they couldn't get through the middle, they tried to get people on the wings, but New York City FC replied, closing the win areas with those five. So it's amazing to see how the team is finding elements to adjust and then the big confidence that they have on this streak.
Little question that they are confident. And when they play, you know, I don't know if you all see it the same way, but, man, except for some certain periods of time over these last four games, they really look, they're playing with joy and love and, you know, freedom. And they look like they're having a great time out there. And of course, when you score goals, it's great.
They're dominating games, is getting early goals, which helps. And, and they're not losing those leads. There's a lot of times you see a team get an early goal and then, things turn around at the end. They don't do it again. But, it was good for New York City that they kept the pressure up and they got the penalty kick, which is a very good use of VAR by and then Chris Penso going to VAR and taking a look at the play. And, it was it's the right use there. And the technology working in the way that it should work, because to me it's very clear that it was a penalty, especially once you look at it on the replay. Hines Eich had his arm way out, and it was very, it's an easy call if you see it. He didn't see it originally. The players complained, and then VAR took a look at it, and Chris Benson did the right thing, had Romo hold the kickoff, and went and took a look at it, and took two replays to be able to see that it was very clearly a penalty kick. And well, then Castellanos goes, it's a Panenka, not bad.
Well, let's listen to the commentary. John, you'll speak next when this is over, but it's first the English radio and then the Spanish radio back-to-back on the proceedings here.
And Chris Penso is holding things up. There's a VAR review.
Yeah, they're looking at a potential handball. I think the guy who headed the ball in front of Alfredo Morales, yeah, he got it on the arm. So, yeah, it looked suspicious at first. So maybe it's a penalty.
Well, what's your what's your assessment? You make the call.
I think it was a penalty, to be honest. It hit his arm. For me, that's a clear penalty.
Well, Penso is gazing at the monitor, and it's a penalty. Tati picks up the ball.
Yeah, I'm 100% sure he's gonna score. He's so confident from the spot right now.
Angle to the left. He stands with his left boot on the line, top of the area. So it's a pretty long run-up for Tati Castellanos. Romo on his line. Castellanos approaches, stutter step, and he panenkas. Panenka. Tati Castellanos, goal number 7 on the season.
I knew he's gonna score, but doing a panenka, it's that tells us a lot how well he's playing now and what a confidence he's having.
Entonces Chris Penso, este es el tercer penal que cobra esta temporada, 78 en su carrera, y el cuarto que le da a New York City en su carrera. Okay, entonces Tati acomoda el balón. Solo ha fallado un penalti en su carrera, Tati Castellanos. Y aquí viene el arranque. Romo saltando sobre la línea. El público abuchea. Tati ahora arranca, titubea, tira, la toca de Panenka. ¡Gol! De New York City. Tati Castellanos tiene 7. Este fue de Panenka. New York City arriba 2-0.
Es un irreverente Castellanos, pero es muy bueno. Marca el gol de Panenka, haciendo el amague, esperando un segundito antes de patear. Romo no tenía absolutamente nada que hacer. Con mucha calidad define Castellanos. 2-0. El partido no está definido, pero se comienza a definir en este final del primer tiempo. New York City en el momento clave, certero, marcando diferencias, 2-0 aquí en Audi Field.
And that's in the 5th minute of stoppage time, John.
Yeah, it's awesome for Tati. And look, Castellanos has 7 goals, correct?
That's right.
So he has 7, but he has 11.
Yeah,
because right. When he started to score in MLS, he already had 4 in CONCACAF Champions League, right?
Yep.
So Tati has never been away from what he does, which is scoring. He's actually pacing himself for another great season. And now that we're talking about NYCFC goals, how many goals does NYCFC has this season, this MLS season?
23? They have 23 correct? Goals, which is... Yep. Number 3 in all of MLS, Austin with correct. 25, LAFC 24.
How many of those 23 goals are not South American?
I'm not sure. Well, Parks and Gloucester scored in the same game, which brought to mind they were the first pair of Americans to score in the same game for New York City since 2016.
Yeah,
and I don't recall. Shelton was one of them. I can't remember the other American goal scorer.
McNamara.
Okay.
Yeah, Tommy Mack. So, yeah.
So, Roberto, how many?
So, what's the answer?
2 goals by Keaton Parks and 1 by and 1 by Gloucester.
Gloucester. So, right. 20 out of those 23 are South American.
Hail to the South Americans.
You're welcome.
Not only that, I mean, I had looked it up.
Nobody from Colombia, John. None of the no Colombians. Yeah,
no
on
there's no Colombians sheet. On the team, though.
Yeah exactly. Well, I think Calle was the last one. They'd seen enough, I think, after that.
No, Bedoya. Oh, he didn't play much. Right.
Yeah. He never played though.
He never played.
All right, but I had looked it up last year, and I mean, I'd have to go. So you remember the game against Atlanta that Goody Thorarinson scored in?
Yeah.
Remember that game?
Yeah.
Every goal after that, until Keaton Parks scored, was South American. Every single one.
All competitions?
Yeah. No. No, not all competitions. Well, if you want to include Alfredo Morales as South American, then yeah, you can, because he's part German, part American, part Peruvian. So he's a mutt.
Well, I'm just asking. All competitions are just MLS games.
He's classified as American because he plays for the U.S. national team. But, you know, he definitely has Hispanic blood. His father is from Peru. And what do you call it? He listens to every single game and comments on everything we say, which is very cool.
So is it all competitions or just regular season games? This stat you just gave, that all South American goal scorers since Goody went until Park scored earlier this year.
I'm trying to remember now on the CCL who scored the goals. And I think that Alfredo Morales was the only non. Well, and he still calls it. I think they are. I don't think of anybody else who scored. Did Chano get a goal?
Castellanos had four.
Hey, Glenn, this is even worse than the trivia.
Or something?
What, John?
Did Chano hit? Sorry, Sean, go.
This is worse than the trivia.
No, Chano had a goal in U.S. Open Cup. Yeah, this is worse than the trivia.
He had that.
Seeing we can gather, I'm going to wait a little bit into the broadcast. I probably should have led with that. It's going to be a future New York City FC game, undefined game, where we will give away four tickets today. But you have to answer a trivia question. That's coming up a little bit later on. We want you to soak in the information, you know, the discussion, and join in on the comments. If you put something up there and it's clean and worthy, I'll be glad to share it with everybody. The shutout streak and the minutes without conceding a goal, which surpasses the 309 last year, you know, so this has really been also a very good long stretch of conceding very little. So DC United had 8 shots last night, none on frame, but the 8 shots they had in the game was the fewest they've had in a game all year. And then the lack of a shot on frame, although we would dispute the one that was deflected.
Yeah.
And that Johnson had to make the save. But it's back-to-back games with no shots on frame. First to Columbus and now last night. So pretty remarkable. And we know it's not just the goalkeeper. It starts with a forward line that goes from there.
Yeah, start with Tati. So it's 4 games, right, without conceding a goal after conceding 4 against Toronto, correct?
Yeah, but that was – well, no, they did. They gave up 4, but they were down 2-0, exactly. Scored 5. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then a couple of set-piece goals against. And I think you were at that training session, Roberto, where Ronnie spent about an hour on set-piece defending, and just they were just serving ball after ball, and he was very much on top of anyone who didn't quite function the way they should have in those exercises and training.
I wasn't there on the phone with you, and you were describing that to me.
Yeah.
As I said, I wanted to go back and look. So, yes, Chano did have a goal in Champions League against Santos Equapides when they beat him 4-0.
So, listen, just going back to that point, to that topic of, the not receiving goals and how the team defends as a unit. This is, and again, the game is not break in parts, right? You defend because you're attacking, or you're attacking after you're defending. So it goes together. The way you set up your defense is the way that's going to start your attack, and vice versa. And this is something that we were expecting when all the pieces were on the right place, right set of mind, right adaptation time, right? Having the 2 Brazilians on the wings and having Santi in the middle, right? With Tati leading that pressure. Have you noticed how Santiago, for example, changed the way he defends, the way he pressures from those first minutes in his natural position against Seattle?
All 3 of those, don't you think? What are you specifically referring to? Just the effort to get into position, or
everything?
More...
The effort to get into position, the quick state of mind in which he does the click and pressure when he has to. He's not suffering that much when he has to pressure back, right? Remember that change on the shape on that game, that he was allowed to pressure only going forward because he was having some issues coming back and covering the space. Now he doesn't have that problem. Of course, he has Parks and he has Morales behind him, but he's doing it, you know, in a summer's pace and connectivity with others and communication, even if it is like we're mentioning before with Channel and Khaled, even if it is with the eyes, right? Just gestures, but there's communication there. And then yeah. The other part of it is, remember how hard people were with Thiago Martins?
Yeah.
And Thiago Martins is now a really good piece, you know, alongside Callens. And another element that Ronnie can use either Chana, Thiago, Callens, Thiago, right?
Right. So no, he's got, and I, you know.
So
I
he's agree. Now the guy that is starting to build out of that. So nobody could expect him to contribute in, you know, a perfect way since day one. But now they are doing it the way that they want to do it, the way they expect it.
Right. And I was going to point past Rodriguez to Tylus Magno and Thiago, the effort they're putting in. I mean, those guys are busting their hump defensively, and it's making a huge deal. How many times did Thiago recover and just and unexpectedly for the server, who was just playing a little square ball, there's Thiago to intercept and go the other way. You mentioned communication, John, so I think this is a good moment. We've talked about the central defense and Thiago Martins, who I've kind of liked all along. I know he's made like one or two mistakes just about in every match. Nothing last night. Very clean sheet for him last night, I think, in terms of turnovers and things like that. But Maxime Cheneau signed a 3-year contract recently, an extension for New York City, which will put him at 35 years old at the end of that. And he's teamed up with Collins, Alexander Collins, at the back for over 100 games. But in my on-frame podcast, one-on-one with Cheneau that I aired last week, we didn't play this particular clip. And I think it's pretty interesting as Cheneau defines his relationship with Collins.
I do. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I believe we are the best or one of the best tandem in MLS since 2016, and I think the result and the goals we concede and the game we won together show it. That's a funny relationship because we don't speak so much to each other outside on the pitch, but credit to the club who I think find the perfect players perfect qualities who can match together. As I say, Kainz is a little bit more
complementary.
Like,
yeah,
exactly. That's what I try to mean. Kainz is a little bit someone who is a player who's going more forward than me, but I get his back. I cover a lot of his back. I think the both quality we had together allowed us to be strong at the back together. So I've not too much to say about Alex, because as I say, we don't speak too much, but I have so much love by playing with him. I felt so much confidence when he's next to me, and I have so much fun. And it took time, and that's why sometimes some fans doesn't understand, like, creating and building a relationship and chemistry together, it takes time. It took time, and that's exactly what happened with Kainz and me. I think year after year we're getting better, and I think the playoff last year just show how strong and how just how we understand each other very well, show it by winning the cup.
How do you communicate? So if you're not communicating verbally, can you describe how that's developed, that relationship, as far as how you do communicate on the field?
And that's also a funny question, because I think the first 2 years we must speak to each other on a pitch. I tried to speak a little bit of Spanish, he tried to speak a little bit on English, and we understand each other like that. You know, like, football language is pretty simple, you know? But now we don't even need to speak on a pitch. Yeah. I exactly know what he's going to do, and I know exactly what I'm going to do, how I'm going to defend, how I'm going to step in with the ball, whatever. So the last 5 games I played with him, and even during the playoff, I don't even remember speaking with him. So we don't speak together. I might surprise you, but we don't need to speak together.
Yeah, it surprises me. I mean, when you talk about center backs, John, central defenders, you know, their communication, mostly probably with the players in front of them on either side of them, but they still, the fact that they just know each other that well and don't speak the same language, and therefore, but it hasn't stopped them from, I agree with Chanot. I think they've been the top duo in the league.
And the roster construction, Glenn, I mean, those guys are part of the more experienced players, not only with the team, but on their careers, right? You have youngsters out there running, busting, pressuring, creating. But those two are experienced, so they understand that the time actually to communicate between the two center backs is not much. It's not that, you don't have enough time. If you want to create actually a sentence, it's hard even to understand in some places the loud noises and, so.
And when you speak the same language.
Exactly. You're beginning with that. But creating that relationship is, like I said, it takes time. But at the same time, it gives you so much fruits once it's built that you can just look at the guy and with a little know, he knows what I'm doing and I know what he's doing.
And then
ultimate professionalism, right, Glenn and John? It really is, because you don't have to be best friends outside of the field to know that once you're at work, you got to get the job done, and you can have the right chemistry and do all that you have to do. And then, the game ends and you just go your separate ways and you do different things. And that's understandable. They don't have to be best friends, but once they're on the field, they've got to be able to work together. Of course, this year they haven't had much of a chance to work because Thiago Martins has basically taken over Chano's spot. So now they've got to build something together. And I think that's starting to come together. I think Thiago Martins is beginning to play a lot better than he did. I think he's understood what this league is about a lot quicker than, a lot of guys when coming into the league. It takes him a long time to figure it out. And I think that one of the more underrated things that he does, and maybe doesn't go noticed as much, is the fact that how well he sees the field and how well he passes the ball out of the back. And, they always hitting the right guy in the right space. He does a really good job with that. And I've also seen him, when he tracks back, I've seen him be able to track people down now, which is something that I don't think he could do very well at the beginning. And maybe there was a fitness thing or something was wrong. But now I seem to think, at least to my eye, that he has a little bit more pace, a little bit more speed.
Yeah, you have to speak more. I just put the camera on you.
Exactly. Glenn. And
too slow.
I just to be clear, and I think the one who has to back my opinion here is you, because you were the one who talked to him, and I'm saying Chanad, and his comment about I'm not speaking that much with Alex. It's not that I'm not interested in the guy, so I don't have to talk to him. It's that we built that relationship so good that we don't have to speak during the games, during the plays. It's not like, you know, I don't have a feeling with the guy, so I don't speak. You know,
yeah,
I need to speak
like
with
that.
The guy. He's not my friend, so I don't talk to him. It's not that way.
No, it's not that. And I think what he was trying to say.
Thank you, Glenn.
Yeah, get me wrong. Sorry. But I think what he's trying to say is that off the field, they don't have a relationship of being real friends or anything like that. It's very businesslike. You know, they go on their own ways after trips and things, and they don't hang out a lot together. But yet, once they're on the field, they're like this, and they understand each other very, very well. They have, you know, they have great communication. That's what I got.
That's exactly the point that I want to make, Glenn. I did not read, I do not want to read between lines that he's saying, I don't hang out with the guy. No, he's just talking specifically about his relationship as a pair of center backs that come into the field.
Yeah, and he said specifically on the field. But I think one thing about being on the road and the ability to observe. Look, all you have to do as far as seeing the love of the team for each other is look at that picture that was posted that Katie Cahalan took after last night's game. And this is after the day the MLS salaries were released, and a bunch of players in that picture don't ever play. And I mean, they were a happy group. I think they really do love each other as teammates. I don't know if he was necessarily referring to that, but they don't talk that much off the field, you know, and I think the observation is clear when you could see on the road, kind of who hangs with each other, who's, and there aren't any cliques on the team, but you know, it goes without saying that, you know, sometimes the Brazilian guys are hanging and, you know, they don't, especially the ones that don't speak much English. But it is a happy team, and that is very clear in how they are around each other, how they play together, and we could go back to how Ronnie Dyla has kind of formed the culture of this team. I mean, he's been the best at it of all the coaches, and maybe it's the right people and the right players as well. Yeah, that's a part of it too, and that's where David Lee gets to step in and take credit too, to and anybody else that's scouted the right players and brought them all together. And CFG for putting this coaching staff together. Ronnie Dyla and Nick Cushing didn't know each other from anything, right? And there was a point last year, John, I think early in the year, we were wondering, you know, do they get on? You know, do you think there's a strong positive connection there? And the answer is yes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you know what? Now that we are giving, you know, credits right and left, I don't want to forget Nico Acevedo. I mean, the guy is doing whatever it takes to be on the field, right?
Yeah.
He's playing right back. He's playing as a double pivot. He's playing the right side on the left side. I mean, it's like the guy who comes into the coach's office and say, you know what? Whatever you want me on there, just put me on the paper and I'm jumping in.
And a lot of that had to do with what they've observed in training, though. They just feel like he's such a good player. But he's not a good defender because not on the flank. I mean, the amount of times that Brad Smith got in yesterday, which created probably the most havoc on that side of the attack for DC
United. Pace
is
not one of his attributes. So
no, it's not. He's not fast.
But
that's why you miss Tavon. I mean, that's why you miss Tavon Gray, right? I mean, in his speed, and Anton, you know, when he was playing, obviously he was the best at the position that the team had. Having said that, the team won a championship without Anton. So, you know, give some credit to Tavon for doing a good job.
They're getting all these clean sheets without Tinnerholm, Tavon, Chanot, and Amundsen, who are, you know, take Tavon out and put Tinnerholm in. I mean, these are the regular guys, and they're still they're still getting it done. So
it was good to see Amundsen back. You know, he played a little bit in the second half, and you'll start seeing him play more. Well, he might wind up having to start depending on what happened with Gloucester.
Yeah, we don't know that.
He limped off the field, went straight to the dressing room. Although one of the players told me that he was going to be okay, that, you know, it was just more, you know, fatigue and muscle fatigue than anything else. So,
well, you and I will find out more tomorrow when we go up to training, you know.
We'll go to training and we'll see who's there and who's not.
Yeah, you know, it's Maxi Morales was left home. as was Tavon Gray. Tavon Gray had been ill, just sick, and then got a little knock in training. So we'll get an update on that. And then Maxi Morales could be something minor, could be just rest. You know, it's we'll get more of an update on
the team has said it's rest.
Yeah. All right. Then I hope he got a good rest in. And listen to the English commentary. I mean, he should do that to work on his English. You know, that's I think that's really important. Roberto Abramowitz is here. John Rojas. I'm Glenn Crooks. John is the versatile member of the pack. He's done the commentary on both the Spanish and English side. So
I'm sorry. He's not the only one.
Well, are you going to count a preseason stream?
I'm sorry.
Versus the MLS Cup Championship.
240 minutes.
Is Guatemala now just a faded memory?
Oh, Guatemala City. That's right. We had an emergency.
Nobody heard that one.
Three man booth.
actually,
we did have a lot. Listen, and I don't know.
It was
fun.
Considering the fact that, I mean, by the way, this thing saved our butt.
We did the whole game, John. We did the whole game on Roberto's hot, well,
second
hot
half,
spot.
Basically, the first half, it was on the MiFi that they threw at us to, you know, like 10 minutes before the game after they promised us internet and an Ethernet connection. They didn't. And that thing worked for about 5 minutes, kept on disconnecting, connecting back up. You know, we had a horrible time. And then the second half, I said, let's just try my phone. And it worked.
All right, we were talking about injuries earlier, specifically Tinnerholm, the Achilles surgery. So this is the first thing I asked him pregame was about his potential return to the lineup.
Now is the last stop before I can go into the pitch for real. I mean, it's been a long journey, but I'm almost there, and I think now in the end it's quite tough, to be honest, to be on the sideline, especially like today. You go into the locker room today, see the guys, and they start their preparation and everything like that, and you just want to be part of it. But I'm sitting here with you, it's not too bad, but I'd rather be on the pitch, to be honest.
We'd rather see you on the pitch.
Yeah. It's
so what is it like during the course of the week? So what the most recent practice I went to, you were playing 5v2, you were in the middle defending, holding a penny, but no tackles. You're not permitted to have contact yet, right?
That's correct. I'm training with the team most of the time right now. So what I'm doing is the warm up, the boxes, some possession and some passing drills. I haven't been in like 11 versus 11, but I'm starting to get into 5v5 now as well. So I'm feeling I'm pretty close, and I'm not worried for my injury, to be honest. They say it's a bigger risk to rupture the other Achilles than the one I did 7.5 months ago. So I'm not afraid at all, and I think that's really important for my mental status, you know, to go onto the pitch and feeling I'm scared. You can't have it like that. So.
No, you can't. So what is the medical analysis that will permit you to have contact and play again? What has to happen between now and then?
So we play Minnesota, I think, 28, and then we have a little bit break after that, and as soon as we come back after that mini break, then I'm gonna have my final test, and so hopefully I can start in full training.
But what's your educated guess as to when you'll be able to compete? What would you think?
In realistically, game, I think I should be back in 1.5 months. That's the goal. The doctor said it's far ahead of schedule. They said up to 12 months at first. Now, if I can be back in the start of July or late June, then it's closer to 9 or 8.5 months.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
All right, so the May 29th or 28th date at Minnesota, coming back from that. New York City's off until June the 19th, the international break. And then during that period of time, there'll be a pretty big determination about his immediate future with the club. So he's ahead
of
schedule.
This is the most critical time, Glenn. This is the most critical time because now the metrics are little, are just 2-3 metrics. The strength that he can get back, the muscle that he can get back around the injury side. But other than that, it's more the pressure that himself is putting on the staff. I'm feeling good. I want to play. I need to be in. And then the staff, you know, pushing back. Hold on. Give us a minute. We want you to be good. And that idea of being more prone to injure the other foot than the one that has just been treated is real, because sometimes the weight is on the other foot, not on the one that is injured, and then it becomes very dangerous to get injured on that side. So it's that time in which the player is pushing and the staff is pushing back, and when are we going to take that decision? And that's why it's the most critical time, the last part of these injuries. Because at the end of the day, what the staff wants is a player that can last. That's not going to re-injure. That's not going to have any other kind of injuries related to that. And the player, what he wants is just be on the field right away because he feels good.
But he seems to be, and I had talked to him about that off mic. I mean, he seems to be pretty clear about the fact that he doesn't want to push it and he's not going to fight for it. He's going to strictly, he said the decision is between himself, the medical staff, and the technical staff, which all makes sense. And so it's...
But that's why relationship, Glenn, are so important.
Yeah.
Because
trust, there's got to be a lot of trust. Yeah.
And that comes with the relationship. He trusts the staff, and he trusts that they're doing everything for his own good, and that the minutes that he's not having on the field are going to come later, and he's going to be good. Then it's easier to manage these situations. But there's some clubs and there's some rosters and players that, you know, have those kind of fights with the staff because they don't believe actually that the staff is doing it on their own benefit. They're now holding him back. Now, you know, it happens in other places.
So, I mean, John mentioned something that's really, really key. The overcompensation that you have on the other extremity, whatever it is, you know, especially when it comes to legs, and you can do damage there because you're overcompensating. And it is so true, and it happens a lot. And he also makes a very, very valid point about the fact that, you know, you don't have to rush him back. And one of the things that's really key about New York City, and we mentioned a little bit before, this team won a championship, you know, with him out. So, you know, they're well covered there. They're a better team when he's on the field. So you can take your time in making sure that it's 100% right. It's better a week late than a week early. And, you know, the staff has indicated to us a different timetable than what Anton is indicating to us. So maybe there'll be a happy medium, but we'll see what winds up happening. But the most important thing is that he's healthy and that he doesn't damage anything else because he got back too early.
Well, one of the things, absolutely, and if they get him over the final third of the season, just looking at the dates again, late June, early July, late June, June 29th at FC Cincinnati, which is the expectancy date, his wife with their second daughter. Then July 3rd at home to Atlanta, July 9th home to New England, and it goes from there at FC Dallas at Red Bulls. So We'll just have to see. And, you know, he talks about the tests. And, John, that's and Roberto, you're both referring to the, you know, maybe putting more pressure on the opposite leg inadvertently. And a lot has to do with the level of musculature and all the different things. And that's what these tests are about, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing that, let's face it, the other thing for Chenault is he wants to come back and be a good player again. Why? Because his contract expires at the end of this season. I don't know how much that plays into it, but I brought that up during the broadcast.
Chenault signed a 3-year contract extension with New York City this week. Anton Tinnerholm, 30 years old. What's your desire as a player? You want to stay?
Yeah, that's what I want to do, you know. And then it's up to the club as well. We all know my contract expires after this season, and then I'm a free agent. So you never know in this business. But if the club really wants me to stay and show that, then I'm gonna stay. So hopefully I stay here for more years. But you never know.
Can you disclose whether there have been talks yet, or is there an understanding that won't happen until at the end of the year?
Nah, we more gonna focus on me going back from the rehab, and then we'll see after that. But I think we both know where we have each other, so it's not a big deal now. I don't want to have that kind of discussion right now. So it's more focus on getting back, and then we have to take that later.
All right, so if the club wants me to stay and shows that, then I'm going to stay. But he also said it's not a big deal that both parties desire to make something happen. But it's always more complicated than that. We've been through a few of these, right, Roberto, during the course of time?
Yeah, sometimes it just doesn't work out. I mean, sometimes you think you have players that are going to stay for a while and don't, and you know, but if it for some reason doesn't work out with New York City, and I do expect them to re-up him, but I don't think he's going to have any problem finding suitors either in MLS or anyplace else. He's a brilliant player, especially going forward. He's the type of guy who's got your back no matter who you are on the field, and he's an ideal teammate. He really, really is. He lights up the locker room as well. Fun guy to be around. I mean, he clicks all the boxes. He's the type of player that you want to keep around. So I would think that New York City wants to keep him. I mean, it will also probably depend upon money, among other things. I mean, obviously, they also know that they've got a replacement in place in Tavon Gray, and that he's going to develop and get better as well. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of decisions made there, but I do expect him to come back.
There is incentive, though, for him to come back and perform. And, you know, the timing of that, I think, is important to him personally and obviously to the team. If you get Tinnerholm back at about 90 to 95% of what he's been over the years with the club, that's going to pay dividends, I think, as they look to make a back-to-back MLS Cups.
You can call it, Glenn, a second window reinforcement.
Yeah, absolutely. He's a summer transfer.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know,
you can hold it until the end of the window.
No, I like that analogy. Well, you mentioned, you know, with contracts, we talk about, you know, the cost, the budget, and MLS salaries. If there's one question that I wanted to ask him that it just never kind of fit, and I couldn't get it in there because I think he would answer it honestly. And I wanted to ask him in his time at New York City, when these stupid MLS salary drops come out, you know, which everybody gets all buzzed about. And I think it's so inappropriate, but that's just me because I've coached and I've had to deal with scholarships, not salaries, with players, you know, knowing what everybody else is making. And it's just agonizing sometimes. I know these guys are adults, but some of them are very young adults. Some of them are making a lot of money. Others are not. But I really wanted to ask him if he's ever sensed any animosity in the room on the day that these things come out. And we don't know. But there's animosity somewhere in Major League Soccer, in some locker room, when these things hit the morning of whatever it was this week.
Can I tell you a story?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So here's a young player on a big market team. And this happened a couple of years back. So it's not this year, right? And salaries comes out. And I'm talking to the guy just because we got a good relationship. And he is like, hey, I don't know what's going on, but I can't have a real good relationship with the senior guys on my team. And say, why? Well, they're good with me on the field. But when they get together, I can't be with them. And I went, why? Well, listen, because it's either always me, the one who never pays, right? The bill, if you're going out for eating or drinking something, coffee, yeah, whatever.
I won't let them.
Or I'm spending the whole month in three guys because I'm not taking those guys to the corner. So, you know, it's like, I can't deal with that. I can't mingle with them. I'm spending, you know, my house money on that. So
yeah,
I have to be at home. I can't stay. I have to
that's
stay.
Kind of
it's not even that I want to, but I have to.
So that's one side of it. And that might not, I don't know how much that would impact, but that's a relationship. Those are relationships.
It is.
So it makes a difference. But, you know, let's just look at some of the factual stuff here. And I'm not saying this has caused anything or would, but Sean Johnson, captain, 32 years old. And, you know, it's circumstantial. Contracts are different, but he makes $550,000. Santi Rodriguez was signed to a contract for over $650,000. Now, that's just a little thing in there, and both are making good livings. No, I don't think anybody's going to, either one of them or anybody within the club's going to say, oh, you know, cry poor or anything. But it's just those little things that you just wonder when they come out, you look at it and you go, oh, come on,
Glenn,
man.
But the thing is, it happens up and down and everywhere. You know, I mean, a guy like Freddy Montero, who is the top goal scorer, the historic top goal scorer for Seattle Sounders. And he was making $80,000 last year. And he's making $100,000 this year. So he's basically playing for free.
That's right? Kind of his choice. So. Yeah, but that, I don't know.
But
if that's
exactly.
Great.
But that's the point. But that's example. His choice.
Yeah, that's
no,
his choice.
No, it is because at the same time, you're having an historic guy, an iconic guy for that franchise that decided to come and keep playing even under those economic circumstances, right? It's not that the team doesn't have money. It's that he wants to help the team to spend money in other places. So it's different personalities, different locker rooms, different needs and environments for players. So I think that's the big point there is you don't want this to happen, especially on this league. Well, the most important thing that you want on a player more than a real player is a good person. And then you don't have these issues.
No question. Right. And that's why there's no issues on this team, I would assume, because it's
exactly.
built on good people. But Roberto, do you know why do they drop the salaries every May? Why do they do that? Do you know why?
I don't know the reason why of the timing, but I mean, they do it twice a year, right? They do it at somewhere at the beginning of the season and then somewhere at the end. And I see your point of view. At the same time, I like the transparency. I like the transparency a lot, okay? These are guys who are playing sports for a living, right? So, you know, if somebody knows how much you're making, you know, and you're making all these millions, you know, freaking deal with it. And if you're jealous in the locker room, then that's your problem, and maybe that's the team's problem that they've got to be able to deal with one way or another, okay? I wish there was more transparency in all of this because there'd be less cheating, right? I mean, and, you know, the old NASCAR saying, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. Miami tried that, right? Miami tried that. They had how many? 5 DPs at the end of the day. And so, you know, they got caught. So
how do you cheat in NASCAR? Do you rig the engine or something?
Right.
Aerodynamics.
The oil, the engine, the gas, the tires.
They inspect the cars before every single race and after every single race. And guys have won races and gotten disqualified because their tires were inflated or something like that. There was something like, one would
excellent.
Say, oh my God, this is
excellent.
Crazy.
Excellent.
You know, but
I started watching that Formula One series on Netflix.
Well, that's a totally different ballgame.
No, it is, but it's pretty interesting. Yeah. It really reminds me of the big soccer clubs. There's like 10 teams that have a lot of money, and they're in every race. And then like the top two or three teams win everything. So it's like Man City, Liverpool, and, you know, Bayern Munich. It's interesting.
Yeah. My point is that I see what you're saying and I get it. But at the end of the day, I appreciate the transparency.
I don't need to know.
By the way, nobody came here thinking that their salaries were going to be secret or anything like that, because if they didn't do their homework to know that this is what the Players Association does twice
doesn't
a year, then that's on them.
Doesn't matter. It's
it's been done forever. So
it's the human condition, man. Doesn't matter. You could be the greatest
human condition.
You could be the greatest, most altruistic, everything person. When you see you're making 120 and another guy that you think you're better than is making 800, it hits you. That's all I'm telling you, man. It hits you.
But
a little
hit you with every kind of money, Glenn. Hits you even without budgets and salary caps, and it hits you anyways. You go to the big clubs and it's always going to happen. You know, there's always someone. Why is this guy making, and they're not making $100,000 a year.
Right,
they're making millions.
330.
So it's on the person.
A week.
It's on the person. It's not on the system.
Hey, all I know is at 14 years old, I was not making $84,000. So Maximo Carrizo, he's the one guy that I'm really happy for on that list, especially.
Oh,
wow.
I spoke with his dad. Remember in the last training session, there were two guys that were standing out. They were there and they're hanging out, and all of a sudden, I figured, oh, they're talking
Spanish. His dad had that nice suit on. Is that why? Maybe he's a
That was his dad, and then his grandpa was there too, and we got to talking, and it was just a nice, interesting conversation about a lot of different things. So, and
Augusto, that's his name.
Yeah, and then the kid came, and he had worked. He's injured, so he's been working on his own inside, trying to get better, and, you know, physically, and it was very nice meeting all of them.
All right.
Augusto Carrizo, that's his name. I play with him.
Augusto, who, his father?
Yeah.
You played with him where?
He didn't play with the 11-year-old.
No, yeah, exactly, with the kid. I was babysitting the kid. The kid was a little baby, and I was playing with his father.
Where, in Corona Park?
McCarran.
Where's that? In Brooklyn?
Brooklyn. Okay. It's a big league in McCarran Park.
Oh.
People get paid to play there.
Oh, so cash, right? Cash. You just get cash. How much cash would you get? If you won the game, John, how much cash would you get?
We don't have players association, so I'm not disclosing the money.
Oh, come on. Very nice.
He doesn't want Augusto to get jealous. That's a deal.
No. Oh, Augusto, he was a really good center back. He came and played college. From Argentina and play college here.
Oh, wow. All right.
Yeah.
Very good. Very successful business as well. So
very tactical.
So another great immigrant story.
So what's referees in Qatar, John? You tweeted that out today. That was the announcement. And Elfath, well, you go over it. You know, who's going? And is there anything significant from this? I did see that the first woman referee, Stephanie Frappart,
Yeah, there are three women. One is from Pro, one is American.
So I mean middle referee. No, I'm talking
referees.
Referee, not assistant referee. I'm talking referee. Okay. The first woman ever is this Stephanie Rapport. She's from France.
Correct. So what they did with the list is that Rapport. They break it down into referees, assistant referees, and video assistant referees.
All right. Okay.
So Pro is sending five people. Only one referee, Ismael Elfath.
Okay.
Three assistant referees. One of them, like I said, is Catherine Nesbitt, Corey Parker, and Kyle Atkins.
Okay.
And then the VAR guy is Armando Villarreal.
Ah, Villarreal. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So those are the guys that are going.
Didn't he was
Pro
the VAR? He was the VAR in a recent New York City match. Was it Columbus?
No, it was. Which one was it?
San Jose.
We spoke to him about a penalty.
Yeah, yeah.
And I got the call from him directly. And I'm trying to remember to see which one it was, but I can't seem to find it over here quickly. But
in the meantime, that you find it, Roberto, if you find it,
No, and I'm not going to find it because it doesn't say. But okay.
And Villarreal also did the. He was in the middle for the MLS Cup final, Portland and New York City FC, right? Armando Villarreal.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Two things. One, don't forget about the trivia because we are almost.
Yeah. Getting and I done. Plugged it on your social media, by the way.
Oh, you did.
And I did too.
Yeah.
And then there's a comment and a question from Chris. Will Maximo play for New York City FC too?
That one there.
Yeah.
Okay.
It all depends. It all depends on one, he has to recover from that little injury that he has. And then second, the NYCFC 2 season is not as long as the MLS season. So it all depends on timing and what they want from him and what Ronnie needs from him at some point. If he wants him to travel and be on the bench and have that experience with the first team.
Well, I do appreciate the reminder on the trivia. I got caught up in refereeing.
You're welcome.
And contracts and things like that. But here is the question. For four tickets to a future New York City FC game, unspecified. And what are you laughing at, Roberto?
It's 2 minutes to go. And it seems so rigged.
This is...
And now I'm associated with this. Oh, my God.
And you're wasting the 2 minutes.
This is the second time. Yeah, yeah. And this is the second time that Roberto has publicly denigrated the work I'm doing in producing this,
yes!
editing it, and everything else. But
yes, you deserve it.
Who is the New York City? Well, if people are viewing, they can answer it right now and win. If they can't, we'll hold it in abeyance till next week. Who is the player for New York City FC? Who holds the record for most assists in a single game for New York City FC? I'm not even going to – you just have to name the player. You don't even have to say how many or who it was against and what the score of the game was, et cetera, et cetera. So that's we'll just keep letting it scroll for a few more minutes, and I'll make sure that my
– Can I throw a little tip?
Twitter is up. Say what?
Can I throw in a little tip for the answer?
Oh, you mean like a – yeah, sure.
So Tinnerholm was involved on that game, right?
He was.
He was involved in the scoreline.
He was. And are you saying, didn't you indicate to me before we came in, that's his last goal scored? He's got nine goals.
Give it away at this point.
Well, how am I giving it away?
Because he doesn't know it, Glenn.
Oh, I definitely don't know it. I definitely don't know it. Hey.
I've got my Twitter up. If anybody wants to answer on Twitter, you can also answer on my YouTube channel, which is showing this, and also Facebook. So what, Roberto? Excuse me for interrupting.
Stephen Goff has news that the U.S. June roster will be released tomorrow.
Ooh.
26 players are expected, and they will report to Cincinnati ahead of the June 1st friendly against Morocco. And they've already confirmed somewhere along the line, I'm blanking on the name now, this player from German-American and has left Germany to come play for the U.S., 21 years old.
He played for the...
I saw his name become... I'm not familiar with him, Roberto, but I do recall...
I'll find it right now.
...it being posted. And, 26-player roster, so... You know, he's got some choices. He indicated, Greg Berhalter, that he might bring in, I can't remember how he put it, but two or three players that had not been in the pool prior, you know, who had not been in the run-up to what is now the preparation for Qatar 2022.
Okay, so 19-year-old Bayern Munich midfielder Malik Tillman. And he last played for Germany for the U21s. And supposedly, according to reports, Germany is not very happy about this switch.
Good.
I hope he's good. Give him time. Let's see.
What is he? What league is he? Is he in Bundesliga or two Bundesliga? Or is he playing in Germany? Where is he playing?
It doesn't say.
Where?
It says that he's a Bayern player, but I don't know if he's actually played there. I mean, honestly, I hadn't really heard of him. So, trying to see if I could find out anything about him.
Well, we're teasing that trivia question for the next time we're on. And people are going to get a – if they look at this back on tape, they'll be able to look it up. This is not one that's in trouble now. This is one that's not particularly easy to find, though. I mean, you just
I know
not, it's not like just
yeah.
There,
and you asking know? With 2 minutes to go, I mean, makes this thing seem terribly rigged.
I do like it's not rigged. I do like what are you talking about? And congratulations to Corey Clayton, who won the last set of tickets and then posted a nice picture on Twitter and thanking us. And
did he? Didn't he see it?
Yes, he did.
Yes, that's on me.
From the Delta Good. Club.
Awesome. Yeah, from the Delta cool. Club, which is so much thanks to marketing and communications for New York City FC to make these tickets available. And here we go. We do have one response on Twitter. Y'all doomed. What a great Twitter account. Maxi with 3 assists in 5-2 win against FCC. Can we check and see if he had 3 assists there? Because that's not what I have in the New York City record books produced not by any of us. Can you go back? Go to that game. The 5-2 win.
What year?
Well, I don't know. But let's make sure we're getting this. Let's make sure if he deserves credit. Because
5-2?
I'm looking at.
There's no 5-2. It's 5-0.
Well, it depends.
There was a 5-2 because there were two. Because New York City scored all 7 goals because there were 2 own goals in that game. I remember Ibiaga had one, and I don't remember who had the other.
Crap.
That's what I remember.
I know where to find it, I think.
All right. And then you got to check on the. So we have something from the club that defines the regular season club records. And the club's single match record for assists in one game. That's not the name. I mean, that's the obvious person that you might want to pick, Maxi Morales. But we are going to look into it because it is 3 assists. But it was another player that we have listed. You guys find it yet?
Okay, so the 5-2 game. Hold on, let me see. Ever assist by Anton Tinnerholm. I would say Mitrida scored 1-0. Ever 2-0. Ever own goal 2-1. Ismael Tajudi Shradi, no assist. Maxi Morales assist on Ever. No. Maxi Morales score, Valentin Castellanos. No.
All right. So y'all do
not even 2 assists for anybody there.
Okay. So
no, Tinnerholm had 2 assists. He assists on Tajudi and assists on Ever.
All right.
Boy, Maxi had 2.
Tinnerholm was all over the place on this.
One on Mitrica. Yeah,
all over the place.
On FOTMOB, they don't give him an assist. They gave him an assist on Ever, and that was it.
All right,
he doesn't get an assist according to FOTMOB here. You know why? Because FOTMOB doesn't recognize secondary assists.
Good.
Actually, they didn't give any assist on that goal that you were talking about.
Oh, okay, I have
a 4-1.
I clipped. I didn't play it tonight, but I clipped when Santi Rodriguez got the assist. On the Collins goal against DC United. Remember the short corner? He just played a ball back to Gloucester, then Gloucester served it. They both got assists. Anton Tinnerholm, he was really disparaging about the second assist. He goes, that's a hockey thing. You know, what's going on? He goes, he's talking to me. You got to change this, like MLS, Americans. What are you doing? there's no second assists. So we had a pretty good back and forth on that, Roberto. So that's interesting that some regard it and some don't. Okay.
All right. Let's do something. I'm going to ask you a question, a little trivia. We finish that, and then we give time to people just maybe answering the trivia that you're putting out there, right?
Yeah. And I've got one more thing I can play, too. But go ahead, John.
Okay. So there's only one guy that is active. I'm on the 11 first top goal scorers in the history of MLS. Who is that guy?
I've got to think.
There's a guy who's active.
Active. He's playing right now, and he's a top
11.
Yes, of the all history top goal scorers in MLS.
I feel like I know this. I think, has New York City played this team this year?
Yeah, he played in many teams, yeah.
But
this year.
No, I meant.
I think I know the answer to this.
No, okay.
No.
I think I know the answer to this.
Who? Go.
KK.
Yes.
Kai Kamara.
Mr. Kai Kamara. He scored last night, and he has 133 goals.
Tied Jaime Moreno for goals.
He is one away from Jeff Cunningham, who has 134. The first two are, of course, Wando, 171, and Landon, 145.
Correct.
And you know, no one between the first and 11.
I have to interrupt, guys.
Okay, you got the answer.
Well, y'all doomed who we declined his right. His submission. He has now tweeted, "I am confused. Here is the match report." And the match report, and so, Roberto, whatever you were reading, yes, second assists weren't there, but MLS, they've got second assists, so we're going to count that. So listen to this. First goal, Schrotty, Tinnerholm, and Eber, the assist, two assists. Second goal, what? Eber, Tinnerholm, and Maxi Morales, the assists. Third goal, Matrica. Hold on. Will you let me go? Third goal, Matrica, Maxi Morales, the assist. Fourth goal, Maxi Morales, Castellanos assist, but here we go. The fifth and final goal for New York City, Eber assist, Maxi Morales. He had three assists. And y'all doomed.
What game was this?
The game you guys were looking up, New York City 5.
No, the 5-2 game, I have it totally different.
Yeah.
Then it's got to be a different game. Because no. The 5-2 game, it's Matrica in the 11th, Eber in the 17th, Tajiri Schrotty in the 29th, Eber in the 49th, and Maxi Morales in the 90th.
You are on the wrong game. Listen to me. So sometimes you don't listen to me, Roberto. I said the 5-2 game where there were two own goals, and it was the Ibiaga and Eber. That's the game I'm looking at on June the 6th, 2019. So they've beaten FC Cincinnati twice. So I could forgive you for
I'm looking at that game too, and according to this, which is Pop Mob, they have different goal scores.
Well, I'm looking at the MLS. I'm looking at the MLSsoccer.com Match Center, NYC versus Cincinnati, June 6, 2019. I mean, you can't doctor this thing. And I do remember, and the own goals are in here. There's Ibiaga in the 76th minute. Eber in the 37th minute. Here's what I'm going to do. All right. So do you think this has been rigged? I am. Anyway. So
I look this whole thing up. All right.
So it's at Cheese Code is the Twitter address. So, sir, there is my email address. Please email me. Sir or ma'am or miss or mister or whatever. So, glenncrook01@gmail.com. So email me and, we will, confirm that. I appreciate how deep you dug for that because, I think this is going to be, y'all doomed is, perhaps, on the right wavelength, but we're going to check more into it. Okay, boys, anybody got any final thoughts? Got a game coming up Sunday. Fire. We didn't really talk much.
Yeah, Tati is not playing on Sunday, of course.
Oh, there you go.
He's suspended.
That's a
you
big one.
May expect Jairo Torres to be a starter for Chicago Fire. That will be his first starter 11 since he came in from Mexico to Chicago Fire. And then Gagas Lonina is not having a really good streak right now. He's having a lot of issues on goal.
Yeah, I heard. I didn't see the game yesterday, but they're saying that he gave up some pretty bad goals against the Red Bulls. I don't know how many.
He's struggling
but
a little bit. And here's the answer we were given for the trivia question. I'm going to put it out there. Alex Ring had three assists versus Inter Miami on October 3rd, 2020, and we will continue to confirm that Maxi Morales also had three assists in a single game. That again is not in the New York City record book as we know it. However, we will continue to research that, and please email me at that, and we'll see if we can get this done. Roberto, get your head in the frame, would you?
I'm looking on my computer because I actually have every single box score of New York City's history. Okay. And I'm I don't know if it's T versus team.
All right. Well, we're gonna.
I'm gonna have to find it out.
You're gonna follow up with me.
I will post
at Cheese Code said he'll see you in the parking lot at Citi Field. All right, man. John, have a great week and weekend. Roberto, you as well. New York City FC Network. We've got a 5 o'clock kickoff, so that means 4:45 airtime coming up on Sunday. Roberto and Ariel will have their Facebook Live at 4 p.m. Maddie and I will be on at 3:30. You're at 3:30. We're at 4. And remember, I am to be forgiven for any confusion on this particular live stream. Soccer in the City Live, man. It's great to have you all with us. Thanks for being with us. And gents, have a good night. And we'll talk to you again next week. Hopefully.
Check the air in Jersey. Enjoy just in it. Case. It might be something.